I am Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and it took a lot of duct tape to fix that sound barrier.
Yeah,
let me
no
tell
kidding.
You.
It was a big break, huh?
It was a big break.
And they keep breaking it every day. What's up with that?
Yeah, stop it.
Anyway, joining us is Mr. Steve McCaughey of the Seaplane Pilots Association.
Oh.
That's SEA, not the pilots that see planes.
Right.
Got
You'd be amazed at the number of people spell it that way when we're doing things.
Are you serious? Are you serious? Oh, so many interesting things. I've always loved the look of the classic two-engine high-wing amphib.
There you go.
I don't
go.
Know why
yeah.
that is.
From an albatross like
yeah,
I got just, married on.
Nice. Nice. So. What's exciting going on for you guys?
Oh, God. We've got so much. Do you have a three-hour slot for me today?
Yeah, we'll work in. Come on, come on back later.
It's turning into one, isn't it?
Oh, we had the FAA administrator, or we had some stuff, legislation going through yesterday with Senator Eyhoff that will help us do some more seaplane rating activity and free up the waters for us, allowing us to self-certify our airplanes for invasive species. We're building a new headquarters. We're doing a fundraising project to build our first permanent world headquarters, 16,000 square feet, going through the process that EAA went through in 1983, which totally changed the face of, you know, Air Venture and
right.
EAA.
Right, everything. So who knows where you'll be
yeah,
in 5 years.
Yeah, so we're going through that process right now. We're doing member trips this year. We're going to take a whole bunch of members out to Seattle, to Kenmore Air Harbor, and spend a week out there flying seaplanes. We've got our scholarship program. We're going to award a scholarship tonight. We've got the corn roast tonight, obviously.
Oh, definitely.
Hopefully we'll see you guys out there.
Yes.
So the go-to event here at Oshkosh.
Now, I just heard something earlier this morning they were talking about. The Gooey Duck, which I always thought was a really cool airplane. It sounds
oh, yeah.
like they're finally going to kit it.
Yeah. You had him on. Was he on this morning?
No. Somebody else was talking about it in passing.
Okay, I just got to fly it out in Alaska in May.
Oh, nice.
So amazing multi-engine composite flying boat. Flies great. They've been flying it for a couple of years. We've been taking the most experienced flying boat people in the world. They all respond super positively to it. We're going to have it at the member trip in Seattle.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
So you'll actually get to fly it. We'll be given rides on it.
Wow. Wow. And all the best qualities without the corrosion.
Yeah, there you go.
So
yeah.
That's a really cool idea.
And it's not carbon fiber either, is it? It's mostly fiberglass so that anybody with boat experience can repair the hull.
Yeah. It's made to be really maintainable. And like I said, the flying qualities are unlike any flying boat I've ever flown.
Can you say turbine conversion?
Ooh. I would love to see that. I really would like to see it as a certified airplane. I think it has tons of potential out there.
Well, it's just a matter of time and money to get it through the process, I guess.
Yep. I was going to say, when was the
definitely
last,
not light sport.
You know, clean sheet design put out for a seaplane? It's been a while.
Well, you've got, you know, the light sport airplanes, you have the Sea Rays, the Icons, things like that. Those are all brand new. But anything of size, I mean, the last thing that... As far as a dedicated airplane, that's about the newest thing out there by
right.
about 30 years
right.
plus, so
right.
40 years.
I don't know why we got away from seaplanes. I guess it was people didn't like landing in the water. I don't know.
Well, you know, the original reason, so, you know, there weren't long runways. Airplanes needed big runways. Pan Am wanted to go to exotic places, so they created the flying boat one trip. And, you know, look at the China Clipper and how much that's impregnated our mindset. If you're an aviation buff, if you have any, you know, fascination with airplanes, you see that China Clipper, you see that Boeing 314, and it just has a heartstring value that you just can't
right.
put about.
It's romantic.
It is.
It's unbelievably romantic. And the thing that's amazing about it, they only did 106 flights.
That's it?
Total.
Wow.
So they operated from 1936 to 1941, and then the war broke out. And one of the 314s was stuck midway in it, so had to go, couldn't return because of the Japanese. So it went the long way around and became the first flying boat to fly around the world.
By accident.
By accident. Yeah.
Well, guess we got to go the other way.
So.
Wow.
Great stuff.
What's the biggest barrier to pilots getting a seaplane rating?
You know, I don't think there are barriers. We have a little bit of an issue with DPEs, not having enough pilot examiners to actually do the check ride. But, you know, getting the rating is very easy. 2 to 3 days in most cases, as long as someone has pretty decent stick and rudder skills. You know, we see a lot of, with the advent of glass cockpits, we see a lot of laziness on the rudders, not good stick rudder coordination, things like that, which will wake up in them. But 2 or 3 days, a couple $1,000s in most cases, $2,000. It counts as a BFR. there is no written test. It's an oral test and a practical test. And,
wow.
You know, most people that do it will say it's the most enjoyable rating they've ever done by far.
Now, can you rent seaplanes? Like, can you go to an FBO seaplane base and say, I'd like to rent an airplane, here's my rating?
That's one of the barriers, but we're working on it. So there are a couple places across the country that you can rent. It's fairly unusual. But we've got a new company starting up right now, Flying Fish. They're going to have a matched fleet of Progressive Aerodyne Sea Rays. Actually, just like the one that the factory just gave us. The Progressive Aerodyne factory painted a Sea Ray up in our colors, and we actually flew it here from Florida. And they're going to have a matched fleet, so if you do a checkout in one of their Sea Rays, you can go to any one of their locations around the country and do a quick checkout and be ready to go. So we're changing that face.
Now, I understand there is still a seaplane base in Philly, even though it's not active.
There is, yeah.
So
we're working on that. We use it about once a year, but it needs some rehabilitation.
Right.
And we've got a gorgeous beaver here from Pennsylvania. Just did a well over $1 million restoration, one of the nicest beavers in the world.
Wow. Nice.
Kind of like Joey Graham, that he just became a co-chairman of Young Eagles.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yesterday, he took Sean Tucker up, who I just saw flying yesterday.
Yeah,
so.
He's going to buy a used Huey. Now, where do you find that?
No kidding. They're few and far between.
Gotcha.
And of course, if he wants to join the Seaplane Pilots Association, he can put pontoons on it.
There you go. Yeah, we have helicopters with pontoons
on them.
Yeah,
with the big blow-up legs.
Yeah, the emergency ones. If you use them, generally you don't want to.
Right.
I was going to say, how many pilots do you have that have, say, an amphibious helicopter?
Not many.
No, I would imagine they're not that, just not that many out there.
You know, but that opens up a great subject. So there's 350 million Americans, give or take, a couple thousand. And there's 600,000 pilots in the United States, and yet there's only less than 26,000 seaplane ratings. There are 2,600 multi-engine seaplane ratings and like 99 that are VFR multi-engine. So we are a very small subcomponent of aviation and of society. And the statistic I use when I do lectures is I can be in a football stadium, and I show a football stadium with a measured quantity of 72,000 people in it. Statistically, there's one other active seaplane pilot in that stadium with me.
Wow.
Just to put that in perspective.
Yeah, that really does put it in perspective.
And it's I don't understand it because we're fun. We get to go places most people don't get to go. Where seaplanes are just a magnet. Anywhere we show up, people just flock to the airplane. They want to know everything they can about it. It's relatively easy to get the rating, and yet we have such a small population of seaplane pilots, so we really need to work on that.
Well, that also drives the question, what about buying a used seaplane? Are there that many out there?
They're out there. They're readily available. The Sleepers, the 172 on straight floats, everyone knows how to fly it. Parts are readily available. Everyone knows how to work on a 172, all your mechanics. And the insurance companies love them as far as insuring them. So I think the 172 on floats, especially with a 180 horsepower conversion, makes a great seaplane. And you just don't see enough of them out there. There's some in Minnesota that you can find for sale. You see some for sale in Maine. But, man, if I was going to tell people, get into seaplane flying. You can do this between $55,000 and $85,000. You can find a really nice little 172.
That's actually really cheap.
It is.
Compared to what the average LSA is going for.
Well, you know, I have a Cessna 120 that I bought 1980 on wheels for 1998 for $14,500. And I maintain that airplane just to show people that you can get into aviation without having a lot of money. I bought a Cessna 140 with a big engine in it, an 0290 D2, that was a very historical airplane, for $25,000. So I had two airplanes for $39,000 total investment. You cannot go buy the smallest Sea Ray boat, 19-foot boat, for $39,000. How many boats are out there? How many RVs are filling up the campground out here that cost more than that? So it is affordable. The barriers are not there. You don't have to go buy a $400,000 brand new airplane. There's a lot of affordable airplanes out there.
You just got to learn how to fly them.
Yeah.
And they make that pretty easy to do, too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we went to the dinner last year. You guys were giving away ratings.
Yeah, we are. Come and we get the rate. Yeah, we're doing a scholarship tonight. We're doing a scholarship tomorrow night. I'm doing a town hall out at the Seaplane base. So we have a scholarship program to nurture and foster young aviators along their way. So 18 to 25-year-olds can apply for the scholarship. We do a dozen zero-cost seaplane ratings per year. To young aspiring pilots. We want to increase that to 24. We'll give away one tonight. Hope to see you guys out there. And we're doing everything we can to make it grow and prosper.
Speaking of younger pilots and inspiring the next generation, how many of your seaplane pilots give Young Eagle rides?
We're working with EA right now. So we signed an MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding, to work with EA. The management of EA has really stepped up this year. We've been having a lot of meetings together. And right now, the Young Eagles program insurance policy does not cover seaplane Young Eagles flights, but we're working on that. I expect we'll have that before next Oshkosh. So before next AirVenture. We'll have that in place very shortly, and look forward to working with EA. I'm a lifetime EA member, lifetime IAC member, everything else.
Lifetime seaplane member.
Lifetime Seaplane Pilots Association member.
You throw all of that together, you do aerobatics in a seaplane.
It's a good thing he's got like nine lives.
So I just, if it has wings, I've got to fly it. I mean, I just see airplanes. There's a radial engine PA-12 on floats out at the seaplane base right now.
Oh, wow.
And I just have to get my hands on that. And it actually has windows to look through the cylinders when you do a glassy water landing.
Oh, my goodness.
And I got to fly that thing.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, Steve. It's always great to have you here. You're so full of energy. And go fly wet.
There you go. Thank you so much, guys.
Yep, this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.